Amen. Well, hey, good morning. My name is Jake, and I want you to know that I love you. Today, you picked a good day to be in church because we're starting a brand new series today called Power. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at Mark chapters 4-6, and we're going to see the miraculous power of Jesus on display. Today, we're going to see his power to calm the storms in our life. Over the next couple weeks, we'll see his power to restore, his power to heal, and his power to provide. Now, here's what I hope happens for you over the next couple weeks. I hope that what God does is he grows a practical confidence in his ability to do what he says he's going to do for you. Okay, faith is simply trusting that God can do and will do what he says he's going to do. And so my hope is as we look at the power of Jesus, your trust in God's ability would grow. So let's pray and we'll dive into the word this morning. Father, we love you and we lift up this time of worship to you, this time of sitting in your word. And God, I just ask that you would speak to us. I just know, God, from that time at the altar just a few moments ago that there are a lot of storms going on in this room. And God, we need to know that you are present with us in those if we're going to make it. And so I would just pray right now, Father, that if nothing else, you would make it absolutely clear, perfectly, abundantly clear that you are in the boat with us. And God, we don't have to travel through the storm alone. And that gives great hope. That gives great joy, Father, just knowing that simple thing. We love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. We're going to talk about storms this morning, and storms can be quite the nuisance, can't they? We felt that storms can be quite the nuisance over the past couple weeks. They have wrecked church for us. It's been awful. 2 weeks ago, when we had our first big winter storm, it was the weekend of Hannah's birthday, and actually it was last weekend, or 2 weeks ago with the big storm where we canceled. It was Hannah's birthday, and we had gone down to Newport to hang out for her birthday. We went bowling, and I had my first official old man moment because I threw my back out while bowling. It was awful. Like, I was in pain. I couldn't even walk. I'd never experienced anything like that. So if this is what getting old is, I'm not looking forward to it. But I was bowling and I kept trying to bowl, like, you know, doing that thing where you just kind of man your way through it, and I just made it worse. And then the storm came, the winter snow, and on Saturday or Sunday, Hannah had to go out and shovel the driveway, and I really couldn't help. Like, I could do nothing. And so I'm looking out the window and there's my like 4'11" wife just shoveling snow, and I'm pretty sure she's saying some bad things under her breath. My neighbor comes out and goes, "You know, your husband should really be doing this." And I'm just like, what does he know? You know, like, I'm hurt. Like, it's not fair. But storms cause a lot of issues. I remember a couple years ago, we were driving back, Hannah and I, from Kentucky, and we were coming from a family reunion, and we were on 75, and the rain just out of nowhere started downpouring. And you know, it's that kind of rain where it's windy, so it's like blowing sideways, and my car is kind of going back and forth on the road. Some cars had just pulled off the road entirely because you could hardly see like 5-6 feet in front of you. And I look over, and Hannah's a nervous Nelly, so she's just like chewing her fingernails. She's checking the weather app like every 10 minutes to see when we're going to get out of it. And at first it was kind of cute. Like, I'm like, honey, it's okay. I'm going to get you through this. We're going to get home. No big deal. Then I started to get a little annoyed. Like, don't you trust me? Don't you think I can get you through this storm? And she looks at me and she goes, well, your track record's really not that great. And she's not wrong. I've been in 9 car accidents in my life. Only 3 of them were my fault. All right. So 1 in 3 shot, it's on me. 2 in 3, it's on you. Those are good odds. But let's just say I don't inspire the most confidence when going through storms. And that's the thing about a storm. If you're in it alone, or if you're in it with someone who doesn't know what they're doing, you have every right to be afraid. And it's a simple fact of life that we all go through storms. I mean, just look at our altar time this morning. There are storms in this room. Just the mention of the word storm probably evokes for you all kinds of emotions and experiences and things that you've been through. I read a quote this week that'll be on the screen that I think is really true. It said, in life, you are either in the middle of a storm, coming out of a storm, or heading into a storm. So storms are something we all have to be prepared for. And if you are in a storm today, what I want you to know is that Jesus has the power to calm that storm and to give you an indescribable peace right there in the middle of the storm. And so we're going to look at a passage in Mark 4 today, and we're going to see the power of Jesus to calm storms on display. It starts in verse 35. Let's look at this together. It said, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." And you go, of course he was. "The disciples woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?'" Verse 39. "He got up, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and he said, 'Quiet, be still.' And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?'" Now, if you were paying attention, we learned a few things about storms in that story. The first thing we learn is that storms can be very unexpected, can't they? Doesn't it seem sometimes like in life, storms just flare up out of nowhere? That's what happens on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was actually famous for these unexpected storms because Mount Hermon, which was a mountain in Israel, sat about 30 miles north of the lake. And when the cold air came down from the mountain and the warm air came up from the sea, these hurricane-like conditions could just swirl up out of nowhere. And sometimes it feels like that happens in life, doesn't it? Like you're just kind of going through life, things are going well, you finally have your hands on it, and then out of nowhere, it's like a storm just erupts. This has happened for Hannah and I several times. We finally feel like we've kind of got our hands on life, things are finally sort of going our way, and then out of nowhere, it's like a storm comes in and just takes control away and knocks us off our feet. They can be really unexpected. The second thing we learn in this story is that storms can be overwhelming. I mean, think about the overwhelming nature of the storm that's going on in this story. That word, when it said it was a furious squall, the word furious could be translated like great or loud. This is a deafening storm. So imagine the roaring of the rain, the pounding of the waves against the boat, the gushing of the wind. You can't hear a thing. Imagine that queasy feeling of going back and forth, rocking on the boat as the waves just kind of hit the boat, wave after wave. And that's the thing about storms. If it were just one wave, you could probably take it on the head and keep going. But doesn't it feel like with storms, it's just wave after wave after wave after wave, and it can be overwhelming. And remember, these are experienced fishermen in this boat. All right, this isn't me out on Wes's canoe, like a little afraid because I don't trust him. This is people who know what they're doing and they're frightened. Like if you're in a plane and you hit a little bit of turbulence, it's okay to be afraid. But if you hit turbulence and you see the stewardess like sit down, buckle in, start doing a Hail Mary, that's when you know it's a bad storm. And that's what's going on. These fishermen, this is their career. They're going, "We're about to drown, Jesus. This is overwhelming. We can't handle this. Don't you care?" You know, it's interesting that Mark says the disciples say to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Because Matthew says, "Teacher, help us." And Luke says, "Lord, there's a storm." They all have different responses. And some people look at that and they go, "Well, look, the Bible doesn't know what it's doing because it can't even get the story right." I think there's just a lot of people yelling because it was a really loud, overwhelming storm. And I'm sure there were a lot of things said. I'm sure there were curse words thrown. I'm sure it was a very scary storm. And sometimes life can feel that way, can't it? It's overwhelming. And I think we've all been there before. We've felt this kind of mixture of, I know he loves me, but is he really going to pull through this time? Like, is it really going to happen? Because right now, it just feels like he's asleep at the wheel. And I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. I don't know if I'm actually going to get to the other side. Here's a third thing we learn about storms is that they can be really confusing. You see, part of the reason the disciples were so irritated at Jesus is that it was his idea to go into the storm. He's the one who said, "Let's get into the boat and let's go to the other side." And now we're going to the other side and we're in the middle of this storm. And Jesus, you knew this was coming. So what's the point? And sometimes it can feel like that. You see, one of the enemy's greatest strategies and tricks is to get you to believe that God can't be trusted. That if you take his course for your life, you follow him where he's going to go, he will not keep his word. And we've all felt that before. God, I thought if you said that if I just loved my wife, my marriage would just start to be better. I thought if you said that if I prayed, the sickness would go away. I thought you said that if I would just obey you and go through this open door, my purpose, my ministry would take off. But that's just not my reality. Where are you? What are you doing? I'm so confused. And that's the storm these disciples are in. And some of you might be in a storm today. It might be in a marital storm, an emotional storm, a spiritual storm. Storms come and go in our life in so many different ways. But here's what I want you to know today. If you are in a storm, if you're in a storm right now, this story has some incredible things to teach you about the power of God to give you peace in that storm and to actually allow you to rest right in the middle of it. Here's the main idea I want you to grab today. So if you take nothing else, I want you to write this down. When you're in a storm, I want you to remember, God is in your boat. Let me say that again. When you're in the middle of a storm, what I want you to remember is that God is in the boat with you. Do you know the number one command in the Bible is do not be afraid? Some 330 some times the Bible says, don't be afraid, don't worry, don't be anxious. And the number one promise in the Bible is I will be with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid, because I'm going to be with you. That's not an accident. What the Bible is doing is it is giving you a weapon that you can fight fear, you can navigate storms, and you can go through the difficult things of life with, and that is the promise of the presence of God. You see, we feel like we're in the storm by ourselves, but what the Bible wants you to know is that you're not in that storm alone, but that God has actually tethered himself to your boat. He is right there with you. You know, it's interesting. This is one of the only stories in all of the Gospels where we find Jesus sleeping. And he's actually sleeping in the middle of a raging storm. It's kind of ironic. And he's not just sleeping, like he is passed out. It's that kind of sleeping where it's like you wake up and the imprint of whatever you're sleeping is on the side of your face. Like he's like, I imagine just like hanging off a couch, the Roku remote like in one hand, The Office is just playing in the background. He's got Cheeto crumbs in the beard, like, he is just dipped. He is passed out. How many of you are deep sleepers? We have some deep sleepers in the room. Hannah is a really deep sleeper, and I actually know when she's in a deep sleep because Hannah likes to talk to the people in her dreams, and she speaks out loud. The other night at like 2 a.m, I woke up and Hannah was just giggling in the middle of her dream. I don't know what was going on. It was one of those situations I was kind of afraid to wake her up because I didn't know, like, you know, is it one of those things where if I wake her up, she's going to attack me? Like, I don't know what to do. But she was in a deep sleep, and that's where we find Jesus. He is passed out in this boat while the storm rages around him. And it's not an accident. He's not unaware of the storm. What he's doing is he's setting a precedent for the disciples. You see, in the Gospels, we find Jesus awake when everyone else is asleep. And we find him asleep when everyone else is awake. And that's a model for us as believers. When everyone else is asleep, we're awake with the presence of God, awake with his word, letting his word wash over our life, fill us with promises, fill us with confidence in our Lord. And when everyone else is awake, frantic with what's going on in the world, we are asleep in the boat, confident in God's presence, friend. When Jesus sleeps, he sleeps because he knows God's in control. And ultimately, the amount of peace that you experience in your life directly correlates to the amount of trust you have in your Heavenly Father. And so do you trust him this morning? Do you know that he's in the boat with you? That's why Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, why are you so afraid? Don't you know who's in the boat? Aren't you aware of my power, what I can do? If not, let me show you. When I think of this story, I'm reminded of Amy Sebastian, and I think about that storm that she went through all of last year, and I think about the ways that God showed off his power in her life. Because every time we would meet with her, there was just this sturdy confidence in God's presence. Her boat was not rocked. And then the ultimate display was her funeral, where family member after family member got up and said, my sister, my mother, my daughter, her faith in God never wavered. And there was this celebration of God's ability to preserve her boat in the middle of that storm. And friends, here's what I want you to know today. God wants to give you that same courage. He wants to give you that same faith right in the middle of that storm. But it starts with recognizing one very simple truth. God is in your boat. There's a scripture that I've been praying for our church this week, and it's in Proverbs chapter 3, and it says this. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You see, some of you have a hard time sleeping at night. when you lay your head down, your mind is just racing with all these things that are going on, with the struggles that your family has, with the problems you're facing at work or in your marriage. Do you know God promises that he wants to give you good, sweet sleep? And do you know where that good, sweet sleep comes from? It comes from knowing that his presence is right there in that storm with you. You can actually sleep like Jesus while the storm is raging all around you today. And so what I want to do with the last part of this sermon is I want to talk about that. How do we rest right in the middle of the storm? And so I've got a little acronym for you to help you remember this. How can we rest with God's presence in the storm? And the first point is this: you have to realize your captain's power. If you want to rest in your storm, number one, you've got to realize your captain's power. In the ancient world, the ability to control the weather, that was something only God can do. And so Psalm 89, it says this: who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty. Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When the waves mount up, you still them. And so this is what's making the disciples so terrified. When Jesus acts, they're seeing this is God's power in the boat with us. J.D. Greer is an author that I like to read. And he said this: the presence of greatness has a strange effect on us. When we encounter it, we feel a mixture of desire and terror. In other words, when you come in contact with greatness or power, you don't know if you want to draw close to it or if you should just run away. A few years ago, Hannah and I were on our honeymoon in the Bahamas, and we learned that there were some NBA players at the resort with us. And if you know anything about me, I'm a huge NBA fan, and so my honeymoon, sadly for Hannah, became very much less about my bride and very much more about finding any NBA player I could and introducing myself. And so I heard there was a guy named Carlos Boozer who was on the island with us. And if you don't know who Carlos Boozer is, you probably shouldn't. He's kind of a scrub-level NBA player. But for me, this was like meeting your greatest hero. And so I was like searching for these guys all week to no avail. And then one morning, I'm in line for one of the water slides. Hannah and I had this little routine on our honeymoon. Hannah would get up and she'd go on the lazy river and do that for like 4 hours because that's what she likes to do. And I'd go do all the water slides by myself and then meet back with her at the lazy river. And so I'm in line for a water slide. And all of a sudden, I see this big crowd swell up. And I'm like, Carlos Boozer is in that crowd. And I started to get real excited. And I knew he was in the crowd because he's 6'10", and he stood taller than everybody else in the crowd. And then the crowd broke up, and he started to walk towards me. And immediately, this like I started to get a little sweaty. I'm like nervous, like, what do I say, you know? And he gets close to me, and he goes, hey, bro. He called me bro, which was really exciting. He said, which way to the big water slide? And I froze. All I could muster was, is that way, Mr. Boozer, sir? And then he goes, and I like race to find Hannah, like, I just talked to Carlos Boozer! Like, I was so excited, I couldn't believe it. Here's what I want you to know. If I'm that awestruck by some mid-level scrub NBA player, how much more so by the presence of a holy God in my boat, amen? This is the God who's in your boat. He's the one that the Bible says does not faint or grow weary. All right, his love endures forever. His finger cast out demons. This is the God that the Bible says has given you everything you need for a godly life. The Bible that Jeremiah, the God that Jeremiah says hangs the earth on nothing, wraps the rain in thick clouds, sends the wind out from their storehouses. The God that the Bible in Job says only gives us a whisper of his power. That God is in your boat, friends. And when you realize that, when you realize the power of your captain, all of a sudden you realize that it's not about your ability to get through the storm, but it's about his power. It's about his grace at work in your life. Friend, look at me. The storms are always going to be bigger than us. But when you realize who's in your boat, you realize that there is a God with you who's always bigger than the storm. And he didn't give you some spirit of powerlessness to be left alone in the boat. The scripture says he didn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but he gave you power, love, and a sound mind so that you could navigate through that storm. But you got to realize his power. You got to realize who's in your boat and the power that he carries. Here's the second thing. You've got to embrace the storm. And you might think that sounds a little weird. Embrace the storm. Friend, the storm is one of the Bible's greatest classrooms for God to teach you about himself. If you're like the disciples, you might ask the question, God, why did you even bring us out here in the first place? Like, what's the point? You're in control. You knew what we were getting into. Why did you bring me out here? And I think the reason is that there is something more important than God keeping you from all storms. And that's God teaching you his faithfulness to you in the storm. And so when you're in the storm, what God does is he begins to show off his power on your behalf. I love this scripture from Isaiah 25. It says, "You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy and their distress." Look at this, a shelter from the storm, a shade from the heat. The key word there is have been. When I know that you have been, I know that you will be. When I know that you have been faithful to my marriage, I know that you will be again. How many of you in here know that through your storms, God has made you into a better husband, a better wife, someone who is more full of his spirit, more full of his presence? I want you to embrace the storm, because when the storm comes, what they do is they wash away pettiness. They wash away selfishness. He actually waters the roots of your marriage with the rains of the storm. How many of you know that God has been faithful to your family and he will be again? You see, one of the things that I find that's really interesting is when you go through something as a family, when you go through a powerful storm and you come out on the other side, what happens is you actually become a shelter, a refuge for other families. Like, I've seen this at work in our church. We have a lot of young people here who struggle with real anxiety, crippling anxiety. And we have a lot of families who have kids who are in college or young adults or in high school who are struggling with anxiety. And one of the most beautiful things is watching those families go through that storm, come out on the other side, and then become a shelter and a refuge of love, wisdom, encouragement for other families who are entering into the storm. And friend, when you embrace the storm, what God is going to do is he's not just going to leave you on the water for no reason, but he's actually going to give you a purpose right in the middle of it. But we've got to embrace it. How many of you know that he has been generous and he will be again? I wish I could tell you all the ways that God's been generous to my family, but it would take all day. All I can say is this: I'm glad he's in my boat, because I brought to him my fear, my shame, my worry, my sin. And he showers me with his presence, with his love, with his kindness. Friends, I know that he has been, and I know that he will be again. As a church, we can't just live on the past victories or experiences with God. We actually have to look forward to the new challenges, the new storms. We're getting ready to face some rough waters as a church. We're transitioning into the retirement of a staff member, and that's going to mean some different things around here for a while, and that might get scary. But here's what I know. If we'll embrace that together, if we'll get in the boat with Jesus, he's going to show us some things that are beyond our comprehension. He's going to prove his faithfulness to us over and over and over again, because that's the kind of God we serve. Some of you this morning are in a storm and you feel like it's your fault. Like, you feel like you brought this on yourself. I made a mess of this. I deserve these rough waters. God's just letting me drown out here. I want you to know that's a lie from the enemy. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "If we are faithless, he will be faithful, because he can't deny himself." Even if you're making a mess in the boat this morning, even if you're doing a terrible job navigating the storm, he won't let it sink, because he's in the boat with you, friend. Embrace it. So you got to realize his power. You've got to embrace the storm. And here's a third one. You got to speak to the waves. And this one might be my favorite. I love that in the boat, Jesus just gets up and speaks to the storm. And he says, "Quiet, be still." Here's something interesting. The word "be still" in the Greek, it's a verb of continuing action. So what it really means is something like this: be quiet and stay quiet. How many of you moms have used those words before? You be quiet and stay. It's like Jesus got up and just put the storm in time out. Like, you get in that room and I'll tell you when you can come out and play again. And the storm just kind of slinks off. Like, I just want to play Fortnite, right? It just kind of goes off. I want you to notice this. The change is not affected by some magical incantation. Jesus doesn't do some spell. It's the authoritative word of God that calms the storm. And when Jesus rebukes the storm, the scripture says, that word "rebuke," it's like putting a muzzle on a dog. A muzzle bars their mouth so they can't bite. When you put a muzzle on a mad dog, it can growl, it can gnarl, it can shake all at once, but the threat has been completely removed. I want you to look at me. The word of God removes the threat of your storm. Every fear in the presence of Jesus is an irrational fear because of the power of his word. And friend, you have been armed with the authoritative word of Jesus so that you can speak to your waves, so that you can tell them to be still. And the threat is removed. Believe me, I know sometimes those storms can be deafeningly loud. But what we've got to do is we've got to learn to stop letting the waves drown out the voice of God, and we've got to learn to speak the promises of God over the waves. And so look at me. If you're here this morning, when the howling winds of anxiety come down from the mountains and they viciously attack you and tell you things like, you're not going to make it through this, this is going to sweep over you, you speak the promise of Isaiah 43. Even when I go through the waters, he will be with me. Even when I pass through the river, they won't sweep over me. You can beat, you can rain, you can howl all you want, but this boat will not sink because he's with me. Friend, when you struggle and your storm is just raging in your marriage and the shore seems so far away and you're straining at the oars and you're starting to think, maybe I should just call it quits, I want you to remember and speak the promise. What God has joined together, let no man separate. This marriage is built on the Holy Spirit. This marriage is built on the power of God. These waves can run all they want, but they won't rip it apart. When you feel like it's your fault and you're in the storm, and you feel like you're the one who brought this on yourself, you feel like you're the one who deserves this, and the winds and the waves tell you, you're not gonna make it, you're going to drown, this is your fault, you preach to the storm, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This storm is not a reflection of God's love for me. He didn't send this storm to punish me, but to teach me about his faithfulness and his love for me through it. Speak to your waves. Here's the fourth thing, and I like this one. You gotta realize your captain's power, embrace the storm, speak to the waves, and number four, trust your captain's course. So I want you to look at me if you're in a storm this morning. You're gonna get to the other side. And what God is doing is he actually wants you to be ready for what's on the other side of that sea. Do you know what the disciples are about to meet on the other side of this sea? They're gonna run into a naked demoniac. And that's no joke. You can read Mark 5. Like, they're about to run into a naked man who struggles with demons. That's a pretty big storm. And what Jesus wants is to the disciples to know that he actually has the power to do something about it. And as you go through your storm, what God is doing is he is preparing you for what's on the other side of that sea. You heard it in Gail's testimony. She went through one of the most difficult storms and seasons of her life. But on the other side of that sea, God was preparing her for one of the biggest challenges of her life. And she said, when I came into it, I had confidence in God's love. I knew it wasn't a reflection of how he cared about me. It wasn't a reflection of how he felt about me. It was a reflection of the brokenness in our world. And if I had never gone through that painful season, I would have never been ready to face this challenge. As you go through your storm, trust the captain's course, because what he's doing is he is preparing you for what's on the other side. He is preparing you for something incredible, something beautiful. If you're a believer today, you need to hear this. Your pain is never, ever, ever, ever without purpose. But God is actually preparing and building you into something that is courageous, unbreakable, immovable, right in the storm. Which leaves us with one last question this morning. Who really needed to be woken up in this storm? It wasn't Jesus. The disciples needed to be woken up to the presence of God in their boat with them. And I wonder if you need to be woken up to that reality today. As you navigate your storm, as you experience rains and winds, do you know who's in your boat? Friend, he loves you. He cares for you. The Bible actually teaches us that the sea, it represents the wrath of God. In Revelation, the evil empires come from the sea. In the book of Jonah, the prophet is thrown into the sea, the wrath of God. In the story of Noah, the floods cover the earth, showing God's wrath. Friends, Jesus lets us know that we can be safe from the storm because he was swallowed up in it. His cross is the ark that brings sinners safely through the storm to the other side. Unlike Jonah, who ran from God's calling into the stormy sea, Jesus pursued God's calling and drove the boat right out into the stormy sea. Jonah unwillingly was thrown from the boat into the sea of God's wrath. Jesus willingly dove off the front end to rescue me. I don't have to be afraid of the sea. I don't have to be afraid of the storm or the beasts that lie in it, because Jesus was swallowed up in it. And he came out of that grave victorious so that I could know forever the sea has no power. He is in my boat. And you can know that today. Let's pray, and then we're going to respond with communion. Father, we love you. And we just pray right now for your Holy Spirit to encourage those who are in this room. God, I know that there are many different storms, some that feel like hurricanes, some that just feel like a painful nuisance. And God, it's my prayer that whatever they may be today, this one truth would be an anchor for their soul, and that is that you are in the boat with them. And they need to recognize your power. Embrace what you're doing. Speak your promises to the waves. Trust the course that you're leading us through. Because then we can rest. Then we can lay our head down at night and our sleep will be sweet. Then we can lay our head down at night and there won't be these late nights of staying up late and thinking through everything. But Father, we can rest because we know you're in control. I just pray for that, God. Ask for your Holy Spirit to do that in a miraculous, powerful way. Father, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Here in just a moment, the ushers are going to serve communion to us. They're going to bring it down. As we take communion, this is a reminder of the powerful promise of God that his presence goes with us wherever we go. You know, one of the cool things about you as a believer is when you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says the Holy Spirit actually takes up residence in your heart by faith. So in a very real way, God is in the boat with you wherever you go. He does not leave. He does not run away. But whatever storm you're navigating through, he actually lives right in the stern, present with you, to give you confidence, to give you joy, to give you hope. And so as we take this communion, what we're going to do is we're going to praise God for his faithfulness to us. We're going to say, thank you, Jesus, that the promise that you will be in my boat isn't empty words, but it was bought with the blood of Jesus. It was actually purchased for me when your son died on the cross. So if the ushers would come forward, distribute the elements, the band is going to lead us in a song, and then I'll come up and we'll take them together.